Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this. Hey Lauren, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks Terrell for having me. How are you doing?
I'm pretty well, I cannot complain. Thank you for wanting to be on the episode, on the show. And one thing I've learned is that you are incredibly successful in real estate. Why luxury real estate?
You know, to be honest, I started working as a yoga instructor, and I just absolutely love that I could help people with their bodies. And this is the most standard answer across the board because everybody loves to help people. But you don't know what you don't know. And so when you become an expert in an industry, you really can dig deep and help people in a different way than just like making it a sale. So I took my love for yoga and wanting people to have healthy bodies, and I brought it into real estate. And I really try to educate people along the way that it's not, you're not just a sale to me, right? Like, I'll tell you, no, this house doesn't work for you, because it doesn't work for you. And I want you to be happy.
Well, I've recently learned a couple weeks ago, it wasn't last week, but a couple weeks ago, there was like, if you're going to show the person that you care, show the person that you care, rather than saying that you care for somebody, show them how you care. And the way you just explained it, not only were you a yoga instructor, you show people that you can go from point A to point B. How long did it take you to learn that, even though that you were a yoga instructor, how did you know that your skills can be translated into real estate?
It was kind of just natural, to be honest. It was, I kind of do everything very black and white, all in, all out, kind of extremist. And so it was just really changing the industry, not changing who I was. I transferred that. And the feedback that most people give about real estate agents is that they don't really feel cared for because they're a transaction. Like, they never hear from their real estate agent again once they close. And I took that to heart, and I've kind of become a follow-up queen, and I have everybody in a calendar. Sometimes I just listen to my gut, and that has led to being successful because I'm watering the grass I have, and these people become friends. I become a part of their life in some small way. We go to coffee or birthdays or whatever it is, and you know, you just get to know them, and it's a different type of relationship rather than just, hey, do you need a house? So I try to make sure that people know, like, I do care for you more than just the money that you can put in my bank account.
And I'm pretty sure that they feel it, because I feel the amount that you care right now, based off, you know, our previous conversations, how you carry yourself, how responsive you are. And it told me that if you want to really care for someone, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile and say, hey, I care for you, but this is why I'm caring for you. So that way you don't have to feel alone. What was your biggest challenge in understanding that you can be yourself while you're in real estate and not be someone else?
You know, so I think I still struggle with that, to be honest. It is, I call it bring your personality to work, because sometimes I can be, I don't know about anybody else, so I would love to hear what other people do. Like, you have to turn it on. You have to be professional. We all have a few masks that we wear and have a lot of personalities behind those masks. And I can't go to work and be like silly and cracking jokes. Like, I'm seen as a professional. And so it sometimes escapes me to bring my personality and be fun and have a good time because I'm so worried about like not being taken seriously if I slip into friend mode or, you know, just even if I cuss, right? Like if I say the F bomb. And I've actually had a few people who like they're big cussers, the clients, and I'm very big on mirroring. And if they cuss, then I'll cuss because I kind of want to gauge their reaction and see what they say. And some of them are like, oh, you seem so straight-laced. I would never think that you would cuss. And I'm like, dude, I fucking love the F word. You know, like I make it funny. I make it silly. And then that kind of humanizes me. And they're like, they see me on a more like level playing ground than like somebody who thinks that she's above you and has no personality and just wants to work, you know? So it's like, I think that's like the icebreaker when you're trying to establish a relationship is just kind of find the friend zone.
That's hard. That's difficult to actually even do because one thing I learned, I was speaking with this, with a coach, he coached the Temple Terminators here in Tampa. And he was saying that he's a pastor, he's a minister, he coached, he played baseball, he was in the Marine Corps. And when I was talking to him one time, I explained like you have to be able to learn how to code switch. When you're able to code switch, you're able to adapt to your audience. Have you ever heard of the terminology of code switching?
I have not, but it sounds similar to being a chameleon.
What's a chameleon?
That's somebody who can just switch quickly in the environment.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. Yes. 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 And he got to explain because he's been ministering and coaching for a long time. And so when he's talking to other people, he's able to adapt to their audio, adapt to their language. But he didn't know it was called code switching. He was like, man, I just thought it was natural.
Yeah.
And when you start to be yourself, you start to bring your naturality out and people start to connect with that.
Yes. And that's why a part of it's like when you're a green person, when you're in a new role and you're green in that role and you're this amateur, you almost feel like you have to be extremely serious because you're trying to prove that, like, I know I don't know anything, but I don't need you to know that I don't know anything. And I just want you to take me seriously and I want the business. So you're like almost on your best behavior. So you dress a certain way, you make sure you show up on time, you kind of try to be the person that you think they want. And then it's not until, like you just said, like you kind of like let your personality slip out. And then that's when the relationship is more established. And then it kind of just relaxes. It's like, hey, I'm 5 minutes late today. We're all human, like traffic happens, whatever, you know? And that's where you kind of can watch the friendship start to settle in and you become, it's like it's just a different type. It's not so formal. It's more of an informal working relationship, but there's still a lot of respect there.
I agree. You definitely see how things shift when you're able to just be yourself and around others in person, and not necessarily personal, but professional settings and personal settings and any type of environment that you're in. When you show up as you, no one can be you. No one can be you in any way that you think is possible. You're the only you. And when you show up as you, oh my goodness, that's what people connect.
It is powerful. And it's a little scary to be you. Not going to lie. Sometimes it's a little scary to be you because we're all just trying to fit in. We all want to be seen. We all want to be cool. We all want to be acknowledged. And now in this society, we all want attention. So it's very different. And when you don't really know who you are, how do you be you? And that's like the golden question, right? So you have to really look inside, understand what your standards are, what your morals, your ethics are. Ask yourself questions. Do I like this? Is this congruent with who I am? What's my brand? How do I want to be perceived? And all of these things contribute to the confidence that you can bring both to life and into business. And I think it's just like a lifelong work at mastering this.
I definitely agree because you're making it sound like it's super easy. How did you learn how to see yourself and be okay with showing up as yourself?
It's a constant giving of permission. I just had like a major shift of, okay, I'm really going to show up more of who I am. But before before that, it's always been kind of people pleasing, keeping myself in the box. Like, okay, these are the labels that I know people assign me, such as bossy and intimidating, cold. I don't necessarily want to be anything different, but I want to be approachable. So it took time to be self-aware and understand why do people see me as bossy, intimidating in this situation? Like, how am I walking into the room? Well, if you're walking in and you're cold, people it shows. But like if you walk in and you're still a bit more open, it's powerful because you're graceful. So it's taking who you are. You might have to tweak it a little bit. Like I do think that everybody has room for improvement. So it's understanding which pieces you like. You can also kind of steal from people along the way. Like if you meet someone and you like the way that they handle an objection, the way they hold themselves in public, figure out what it is that they did and what you liked about it and practice it. Practice it at home. If it's a speaking, practice the words that you use. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think anybody talks about how to get from point A to point B. It's like you're just supposed to like have this transformation and show up differently and better. I mean, it takes time and practice and probably some people you really trust along the way who can help you and give you some feedback. That ended up being long-winded, but that's how I got there.
It
Sorry.
wasn't long-winded. It took the right amount of time just to answer that question, because one thing I learned about answering different questions and different perspectives is that you have different memories coming to play. Like, you have different topics, different settings, different past experience, and it's helping you gather the answer to this question. So it's not long-winded. It was answered in the perfect breath, as you say, because now you're able to really pinpoint everything that you want to say.
I
So that takes
appreciate that.
time.
Thank you for saying that. See, you just gave me permission to give longer answers. So thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a process. When I had went through my divorce, I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one going through a particular problem. But then when I got around other people, it was like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm just not around the right people. As you just explained, that when you gave yourself to be to gave yourself permission to see yourself, to be yourself, and to show up as yourself, it takes time to really get good at something. It takes time to actually understand that you're developing a skill. When you first started in real estate, what was the most difficult thing for you to really understand about the industry?
I mean, bless real estate school, but they don't teach you about timelines, documents, how to negotiate. There's no street smart in that school. It is straight up like literal shit you'll never use. And that is the hardest part, is because you're supposed to have all this knowledge and you want to be coming out of school like equipped and ready to go for the real world. But you're not, because they didn't teach you the right things. So you really are almost starting from scratch. It's like school of hard knocks once you get your real estate license, because nobody even tells you you have to go interview brokerages. You kind of just like get a real estate license, and through social media, you think, oh, I'm just going to go make $1 million. I'm going to have a show. I'm going to have 6 million followers on Instagram, and I'm going to be famous. It doesn't work like that. Like, not even close. So yeah, I think learning the grit of real estate was a huge hurdle in the beginning, because you kind of just think, okay, I'm here. Wait, where's the business? You don't realize how hard you have to work to get it.
Where's the customers? Where's the profit? Where's everything? Yeah. You just made me remember when I was in California serving the Marine Corps. I wanted to get my real estate license in California, but then I bought all three books. I don't remember the three books, but the books, you know the size of the books. The books was big, was
They're
huge,
huge.
for nothing. I got them books. I read a couple pages. I see, yeah, I'm probably not gonna get my real estate license. I don't think it's for me.
Yeah, it's a lot of information, and you really, the only thing you need to know is the size of an acre. That's really the only thing I took. Maybe easements is the other one if I had to choose two. But yeah, that whole school. But I think a lot of places are like that. Like you go to school, and we all know experience comes from life, from real situations. And that's why we talk to people who are older and wiser, and doesn't even have to be an age older. It can just be they've had more life experience. So they're just older in life. And that's who you go to when you need help. You go to the people who know.
The way you just put that was different. I've never heard it put like that. You can just be older in life because of your experience.
Yeah, somebody who's sheltered. Think about what they don't really know. And then you think about somebody who's lived a completely different life. We'll call it a hard life, for lack of a better term. I mean, the person with hard life like knows how rough it can be. Maybe it's because they grew up poor or abuse or right. But the person who's sheltered and is handed everything, they think the world is a really nice place. And I don't want to say they get duped or fooled, but they tend to look at everything because a lot of everyone goes through life with projection. So you look at life through your own lens, and if you're sheltered and you've had a great, easy, cushy life, then you kind of think everyone else has. So when you start to realize that people have had awful lives, I'm sure it's hard to understand, like, oh, that's how you grew up? Oh, okay. Right. So, like, they just have so much more experience in life, and the sheltered person doesn't. And it's no fault of theirs. They can't help it. That's how they grew up.
But you have to be willing to try things to learn something new in order for you to gain the experience to get to the next step.
Yes. Would you agree?
I think so. I think so.
I'm curious what you think about this because you're liking this topic.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because it's definitely it might seem easier on being on the outside looking in, but when you actually are on the inside doing the work, making the calls, following up, speaking to people, learning how to sell, learning how to communicate, it's a lot. And when you're inside of it, you don't you're so tunnel vision, you're focused, and you're not really necessarily seeing like the amount of work that you're putting in for yourself or the skills that you're building, how you're growing, how you're developing. Whereas the person is on the outside looking in, they're seeing your success. They're seeing your wins. They're seeing what you are accomplishing rather than what you have failed in and what you have not been good at.
That is so well spoken. And it's part of it is because we don't talk about the losses. We talk about the wins. And when you only talk about the wins, of course, everybody's going to see you as successful. But unfortunately, talking about losses can come across as victim-y. It can come across as negative. And we're in such a, mental health positive, be happy culture right now that speaking about the negatives kind of comes across as like, maybe you want a little bit of attention or validation. Maybe that's not what you mean to put out there, but unfortunately, there is a fine line between sharing a story for validation and sharing a story to actually help people. And so I think people tend to stay away from the negative stuff for a variety of reasons. But like you said, when you're just watching someone from the outside, we can assume all we want. We don't know really what's going on unless you actually have a conversation with them.
I agree. I agree. And you mentioned something about losses, and you just made me think about another question. What was your biggest loss in real estate, in luxury real estate as a realtor?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily a loss because I learned a lot, but I had a really famous California agent call me, and he had a ball player, a very famous football player. I was referred to him by a different client, and he called and just pretty much said, "Hey, I want you to just write up the contract for me." And I was like, doesn't work like that. Like, you don't just write a contract. And so we negotiated the split for me to help this athlete. And it turned into the worst deal, the biggest nightmare. I ended up in court. It was so awful. But like, I get to say I represented this person. And I'm like, this wasn't worth it. And I didn't really take control of the situation because he was bigger than me in the real estate world. He has a television show. I kind of like felt honored that he chose me and I just didn't want to mess it up. But with that came a lot of passive moves on my part, a lot of passive decisions. And I kind of, in hindsight, I should have taken control and told him, like, hey, this is what we have to do. I need to be more in touch. So when you work with an athlete, obviously there's like NDAs involved, but there's also lawyers. So I don't really just get to go to my client and say, hey, this is what we need to talk about. I have to go to the lawyer or the people who are working for him in order to get to him. So it's kind of like this game of telephone, right? And then you've got the athlete or the celebrity who they're in their own world. Right? Like they maybe don't live in my world and I'm trying to get this transaction done for you. And there was one thing that happened. I had told him before we closed, I said, listen, because of who you are, you need to put your house in an LLC. Well, with all the turmoil that came with this transaction, the lawyers did not put his house in an LLC. So it has his name out on public record and his address. And I got a text and was like, why is my name on public record? The paparazzi are here, like all these things. And I said, dude, I told you to put your house in an LLC. And there's nothing I could do. His lawyers who were handling it, there's nothing I can do, you know? So sometimes what seems like a shiny object is not that fun. I ended up making, I think, about $10,000 on that. And it was about 8 months of my life. A lot of tears, a lot of questions with my broker. Like I said, I ended up in court. So I'm not really sure that like celebrities are ever going to be my thing just because it was such a torturous, but it also made me stronger. Like I have, like, that's why this podcast is called Failure is Knowledge. Like I learned so much and I'm really grateful for that experience because it made me hard and it seasoned me and it made me think in a more anticipatory way rather than like, okay, I'm just gonna, you are who you are and I want to make sure that I'm doing it right for you. No, you came to me because I'm the expert and I should have taken control. Again, it's a
Negative
lot. That was a
control.
juicy one. I was trying not to like give too much, but it was a lot.
It was juicy because it was the right amount of time. Don't feel bad
Yes.
about being long-winded
Yes.
because
Yes.
you have experience. One thing I learned about being in the Marine Corps, transitioning from out the Marine Corps back to the civilian world, a regular world, and then learning more about podcasts, learning more about business, learning more about marketing, learning more about team building, leadership. You have different experiences that you go through. And as you are growing through life and sharing a different moment, there's so many things that come at that moment during the question, because now it's helping you pinpoint everything. So don't feel bad about being long-winded. In fact, if you wanted to talk longer, you could have.
Thank you. Sometimes real estate can be very complex. And when you're not in it, it doesn't quite make sense from the outside. So that's why you end up jumping back and forth and it becomes long. But yeah, that was definitely by far the hardest, biggest
Yeah.
challenge of my career.
You was used to having the control and you let the control go. You stop seeing yourself.
Yeah, I just really wanted to, I guess, in a way, be liked by this agent. And because he's been in the, he had, he still, he will always be in the business longer than I am. I kind of just was bowing down. And he doesn't have an Arizona license. He called me because he doesn't have an Arizona license. And it's different. California, every state is different. That's why there's, you have to get a license every time you want to go to a new state because they're not reciprocal because there's different state laws. And so the way that people do business in California is very different. And we have different timelines and we actually have different terminology. It means the same thing I've learned, but it's different terminology. So there's just like a lot of confusion when you're not on the same page. But you know, when you give a referral like that, I would do what he did. I want to stay involved. Like this is my client. This is a big client and I have to make sure he's well taken care of. So now I've learned from that. Like I have a lot of conversations when somebody gives me a referral about what their expectations are, about how I operate, do they, how involved do they want to be? Because I want to respect the fact that they're giving it to me. And it's not just like you give me a name and you disappear. If you want to stay included, stay included. It's important. And that person probably doesn't want to, the client probably doesn't want to feel forgotten about on top of it.
That's true. That's true. Behind every failure, there's knowledge because it's something to learn.
Oh my
And now you
gosh.
have a process, and it's incredible that you have a process behind the way you work with referrals or work with other agents. So that way you're still in control. You're not letting go of your control anymore.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, like we're dealing with a lot of money. And that's my reputation, selfishly. My job is to make sure that somebody has a great experience. And if they don't, like that's on me and whoever they decide to go tell, whether it's my Google review or all their friends, I have to make sure that they're well taken care of. That's super important to me. So, yes, out of that stemmed a lot of new processes and just a better understanding of how to handle things, which is the blessing in disguise. Didn't see it at the time.
As you're going in the pain and the, not necessarily the pain, but the, I would say the tough situations, it doesn't seem like it's preparing you for the next step. It seemed miserable. It seemed like it just seemed difficult. It seemed tough. It seemed like you're the only one going through this particular thing. But then when you keep going, you keep showing up, you keep learning, you keep improving, you learn that you're okay. You just needed to go through that particular point to know that you had to learn more on how to keep control.
Right. That's exactly it. And if you are a control freak as an entrepreneur, which I think that you should be because that's your baby, then, you know, you're kind of like, okay, am I honest with myself and say I need to be in control of this transaction? Or do I like lay down and say, hey, you're the bigwig, I'm going to follow your lead? And, you know, I'm sure in your podcasting world that there's some ego involved. You've got number of years, maybe it's how many episodes. Like, there's always going to be a little bit of competition within the same industry. So how do you handle that?
Kobe Bryant is my favorite basketball player.
Yeah.
And, he became my favorite basketball player in the 2010 season when they played the Celtics.
Okay.
And during the NBA playoffs, Kobe wasn't even playing good, but everybody that was on the team was playing good, and it ended up winning the championship. Later on down the line, when I started doing research, like, dang, like, what did they actually have to go through to win that championship? I learned in 2008, they lost to the Celtics. In 2009, they beat the Magic, but in 2010, they played the Celtics again. So Kobe had vengeance on the Celtics, or the Lakers had vengeance on the Celtics, and that's how they won the 2010 playoffs. In the interview, Kobe said the Mamba mentality is his logo, is his brand, like everything that he represents, right? And somebody asked him, I was like, what does the Mamba mentality mean? And he was like, just to be the best version of yourself. You have to continue to be the best version of yourself no matter what, no matter the pain, no matter the injuries, no matter the heartbreak. You have to always become the best version of yourself. Because if you don't become the best version of yourself, I'm adding this part, then you can't be the best version of yourself. I was like, ooh.
That is so true. I think what makes it hard to become the best version of yourself is standing in your own way, not healing the wounds, zero maybe self-awareness, maybe there's no self-respect. It's, you know, loving yourself and being nice to yourself is a journey. It's, I don't want to say it's hard, but I don't think a lot of people are taught to like themselves, you know, like when you go on a date, for example, we'll make it easy, something everyone can relate to. When you go on a date and you leave that person, even if you don't like them, most people want that person to call because their ego wants them to call. They just want the call. They don't really want to talk to that person anymore. But if you actually stop and ask yourself, do I care if he calls? No, because I didn't like him. Hello? Right? So once you start to realize that it's your opinion that matters, that's a game changer.
And you said that you didn't want to say that it's hard. And in my head, I was like, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. I feel like maybe there's different levels you can walk, like different path levels you can walk. Like you have the hard, you have the medium, you have the light, and then you have the surface level, which never penetrates anything below.
Yes, yes.
Choose your path wisely.
There's another saying, what is it? Choose your heart. I think Andy Frisella said something like that.
I like him. Yes, I believe it is him. Choose your heart. And whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. It does not matter what that is.
Yes. So
keep that in mind as you move forward and as you want to make changes in your life. Think about the more I put in, better the result will be. It's inevitable.
I definitely agree. I saw on your Instagram that you celebrated a birthday. First, I want to say happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And with all your success, how did you find a way to celebrate everything you accomplished?
How do I celebrate? I put it on the calendar. Such a business answer. I put it on the calendar. That's very true. I prep my assistant, letting her know that, hey, I'm probably going to be checked out for these days. And if the party goes a little too far and a little too long, I have to let her know after the fact, like, hey, last night was a little too much fun. And she is in touch. You know, I it's a lot of preparation to make sure that I can check out. And then I'm there for the things that, you know, if something is an emergency or urgent, of course, I'm going to answer my phone. But with social media, I feel like most people know that it's your birthday and they kind of wait a couple days out of respect. But I also believe that when it's your birthday, that you get really great birthday energy. And like 3 days before, I had a random client just text me and was like, hey, I have a friend who wants to put an offer in a house. Can you come over and we can do this right now? And I was like, sure, of course. And of course, I was like, thank you, birthday energy.
Birthday energy.
Birthday energy, because you're happy, you know, it's like it's coming up, you know, you're going to have a good time, whatever you're doing to celebrate, even if it's not much, you're still just like in a good mood, you know, it's your birthday. Birthday energy.
Birthday energy. I'm going to have to use them. I'm going to have to use them because it's pretty nice the way you just put that. So you put it on the calendar when you would like to celebrate. Okay.
Yeah.
Has it always been that easy to put on the calendar to celebrate your wins?
Well, tying it back to being yourself, I used to be embarrassed about what a planner I am because I am also very spontaneous and the two do not go hand in hand. And so when I tell people, hey, if it's not on my calendar, it's not going to get done. Like I am unapologetic about that now. I do not care. And if I don't hear back from you, then I'm going to make a different appointment. And kind of like you're going to learn your lesson by not booking it with me, you know, and I try to be flexible for the people who don't like to book. But at the same time, like when you're running a business, you can't just loosey goosey it. Like everything has to be firm.
Everything has to be firm. So that's what I'm learning now because I had a physical therapy appointment for my back. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of our session, she was like, okay, so when would you like to come back? I'm like, next Wednesday at the same time. She was like, okay. She looked at her computer. She said, okay, got her notebook out, got her planning out, turned the page, and then went down to the date to say December 19th. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That'll work. What about next week? Next following Wednesday work too? She flipped the page and wrote it. I said, why do you do that? I was like, don't you have the computer right there. Why don't you just put it in the computer? She was like, there's so many things on the computer, I won't necessarily remember what's on the computer. Whereas if I write it in my planner, I can see it. I can see my handwriting. I can see and remember like, oh, I have this appointment coming up. I said, oh, that's interesting. She was like, y'all didn't have a planner in high school? I said, not that I remember because I'm from down south. I'm from Little Arkansas. I don't remember that. She was like, up north we did because she was from... up north somewhere. I forgot the place. But then after that day, I was like, okay, you have a planner, you're organized. I'm going to get me a planner. So I got me and my wife a planner. I got her like a pink one. I got me a black one. And I've been using it. I haven't been using it recently because I really forgot about it. You just made me remember to use it again. But
the pen to paper is powerful. I'm curious how you feel after you started using it because I'm assuming you use an electronic calendar.
I did. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
The thing is like everybody sends calendar invites now, and that doesn't go obviously onto a paper calendar. So it almost creates double the work because I'm with you. I love a paper calendar and I just had to stop because it was creating more work for me to have to like write everything down twice, you know? So I ended up stopping, but a calendar at home is great. Like one of the whiteboard calendars where you can erase it and fill it out every month. And then you can put all your plans on there and you guys can see each other's schedules. That's super helpful. That's a great calendar.
Yeah, we have one of those as well. I didn't think about it, but the way you said creating extra work. That's probably why I stopped writing in my planners. Just start using the
because it's too much work, but it does feel good to have a paper calendar. I don't know. I mean, the old days were good. You know, like. You didn't have a cell phone with you all the time. It wasn't important to, you just enjoyed the moment. You did things the old fashioned way, which you'd call now. And everything's so high tech and we always want more and we're always moving the target. And you think you're going to feel better when you, whatever, hit this goal, make this money, have this person. And it's like, somehow it all still feels empty no matter what goal you're reaching. And when we get there, we don't even take the time to like, hey, good job. We just like, whoop, just keep going through it and just, okay, what's the next thing I can break? I need to break more records, you know? Like, we just need to learn to chill a little bit sometimes.
Just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Then get back to it, and then just a little bit. Get back to it again, then just, yeah.
Exactly.
There's a process behind it for sure. And have you ever set a goal so high that you didn't necessarily accomplish it and you was like, dang, I didn't accomplish this goal because of X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because, you know, they kind of teach you to set these goals that are so big they scare you. And then you kind of have to evaluate how you feel when you don't hit them. Or if you're the opposite and you like work your butt off and nothing happens, like you stress out and you're like kind of pissed at yourself for not making the goal, even though you feel like you should have gotten there. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of in a new mindset of the whole hustle and no days off and grind. I feel like that's become a very unhealthy way to live. I think it's achievable if you are single. If you are in a relationship or you have children or you want a life, you can't do that. Like, I wake up at between 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning right now because like I'm getting obsessed again. I do this every few years. I get obsessed with waking up earlier and earlier. The problem is it's ruining my social life. Like, I get tired at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I've been awake for 12 hours and going hard. And then somebody's like, hey, you want to go to dinner? And I'm like, it's a client and I should go. And I'm like, is there any way we can do lunch? Because I don't have the energy anymore to go, you know? So it's like such a great thing because you have, if anybody's listening to this and does not schedule uninterrupted time, that is the most valuable piece of information that somebody gave me. Like the 4 a.m. club, it might sound cool and you might feel cool saying that you wake up early, but the whole reason you wake up is to have uninterrupted time so that your phone's not going off and you can get anything and everything done that you need to without feeling guilty for how many interruptions you have, and it gets pushed to tomorrow. You just get it done. And so I don't know where I was going with that, but that is a, please take that one with you and put it in your pocket and just schedule uninterrupted time for yourself at some point in the day. If you're a night person, do it at night.
The fact that you wake up at 3:30 to 4 o'clock is,
yeah.
Ooh, I thought I woke up early. I woke up around like 5 o'clock every day. But 3:30?
Five is manageable. I will say five is manageable. Yes, it's turned into, I think today was 3:40. Yesterday was 3:47. You know, it's not really a badge of honor, but it's like, it's just my favorite time. I love mornings. I created a really solid morning routine that I look forward to every day. So I like going to bed so I can get up to do it. And I think it just is a phase or a season, you know, you kind of get these like up, like these high seasons where you're just like on a mission and you want to do everything. And then you're like, okay, I'm good. I'm kind of tired of that. I'm ready to step away and go back to waking up at 5, 6 in the morning and being a normal person.
The special thing about waking up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock is that nobody's even moving. Like, they're still sleeping. 5 o'clock, they're still sleeping around that time. But 3:30, yeah, they're just rolling over in bed. Everybody just rolled over in bed.
Oh, no. You see, in Miami, you see the people out still from last night.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, when I go to 6 o'clock class, I will see the walk of shames walking around Brickle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny, actually.
You have your license in both Arizona and Miami, right?
I do.
Why did you decide to get in two states?
Well, I actually have my license in three states. California is the third and it is inactive. I'm from Arizona. I'm from Scottsdale. And so that's why I have my license there. My business is great there. It's easy. It's fun. It's mainly referral based. And when a client asked me to get my license because the referrals I gave him in Miami were not panning out, he said, I don't like the way that they operate and I like the way you work with me. I was like, kind of looking for something new in my personal life anyway. I was like, all right, that kind of sounds fun. So I went to visit. I met my boyfriend the first 2 hours that I was in Miami. And then this client asked 2 weeks later, hey, can you get your license in Miami? And I was like, well, two things have aligned. So yes, I will absolutely do it. I did not anticipate how how hard it was going to be, or how, like, what to do when you have to be in two places at once. So I've learned, if anybody's doing this or thinking about it, if you're in real estate, you need a business partner in both places and you need an assistant in both places, and that will help make the transition a lot easier.
One thing that I learned by just setting goals, and then when you actually start doing it, it's a lot harder than what you thought, because now you have to actually do it. Because recently I started a 90-day challenge to make $100,000, and I didn't know it was going to be that difficult. It is extremely difficult, but I've learned so much. But if I didn't do the 90-day challenge, it was like, okay, the stuff that I'm learning now, I wouldn't have understood it. But when
what
you
part? Curious, yeah, what part is hard for you? Is it the fact that, like, you have to get the information out every day, or the fact that you have to, like, make a video every day? Like, what part of it is hard for the consistency of the 90 days?
The business side of it. The business side, the online marketing, the advertising, the email, the messaging, the actually following up. And of course, I'm doing it. I have one team member. In the next couple of weeks, I will be adding more people, but just really setting things up and the type of business I want to have, why I'm having it, and who I want to help, and just understanding the most difficult part about it is just putting things into place. As far as like the email template, the email automation, the SMS, the everything. So that's been the most difficult.
Well, doing things in advance helps so much. So I have my own podcast, and I know you've been doing it for far longer, but we have found that recording 2, 3, or even 4 episodes at a time is so helpful, rather than every week being like, okay, what are we going to film today? Ah, we're running out of time and we had this emergency, right? And then we have our social media planned out a month in advance. And it all, like, automatically uploads. We don't manually do anything. And, like, these little hacks have made it easy. And because I found this system with the podcast, I've started applying it to my business. Like, you know, when people say run your business like a business and not a transaction. That's, like, exactly what this is. But it takes time to sit down and do all of this and get it all out and get the automation set up. So, like, I try to look at it as, like, a one-time thing, right? Like, if it's a one-time thing, I know I can get through it, right? Like, if you want to change your biography and all your social media platforms, it might take you a little while to curate it, but once you do it, it's done. Then you don't have to think about it for a year. Whereas it's not something that's ongoing, like a newsletter. Oh, bless your soul. Damn those newsletters. And congratulations on growing your team. That's huge.
I appreciate it. Major lesson. As far as the team aspect, how did you know, okay, it's time for me to start growing the team rather than me just working and doing everything by myself?
Well, it started with an assistant. I had two assistants, one back to back, and neither of them really worked out. And then the phase I'm in right now is create what you want, don't take what you can get. And both of those people had been given to me. Somebody was like, oh, you should use this person. And it just didn't work, right? So this is part of the learning process. And so after the second one, I was like, this is not working. I'm letting you go. I went to Indeed.com. I did it the right way. I paid. I had interviews. Like, I got myself set up. And the whole time, so now I was on my third assistant at that point. And I just kept thinking, like, I'm not really worthy of an assistant. Like, who am I to have an assistant? And it felt weird to say I had an assistant. Like, it felt like people thought that I was, you know, my ego was big. But it was during COVID, because everybody during COVID had a bonkers 2 years, right? Like, you couldn't sleep, literally. And so that's when I was like, okay, I do have enough business. Obviously, that accelerated that. But I had enough business, and I wanted to, it goes back kind of to teaching yoga. Like, I want to help people, and I want people to learn, and I want new agents to not go through all the mistakes that I went through. I want you to check this line to make sure you don't end up paying with all your commission because you messed something up. I want you to know how to lead generate. So it really comes from the helping. But I did realize that teams in the end, I'm not really the person to manage. I like to produce. So at the moment, I don't have a team. I have my assistant and a business partner.
Okay. Well, congrats on that. Congrats on that. Because of course, to work with others, you have to get outside of yourself. You have to say, even though you can do everything, it's okay to like let something go.
Yeah, which is hard sometimes. We all think we're like Superwoman and Superman. We can take it all on, but when you take too much on, then you end up spreading yourself thin. Your quality of work is not there. You're burnt out. It's you know, you focus on two or three main things and you make them quality and you're good.
One thing I learned when working with my team member now, it was that one day I was doing the YouTube thumbnails and I'm trying to create. I'm not good at creating anything. Like I don't draw nothing. And even in high school when I was drawing, we had drawing classes. My art pieces didn't come out what I thought it was going to be. And so I'm trying to do the YouTube thumbnails and I'm trying to create. I'm trying to think of something. I'm using ChatGPT. I'm using the resources, but nothing. No creativity is coming to me. It was at that moment I recognized I need to start working with somebody that actually love creating thumbnails, love creating just in general. So I did the hiring process. I did not the hiring process. I did the interview process and then the hiring process. And then I'm like, okay, let me see your work. Okay, who have you previously worked with? You show me your work. I'm like, oh, this is great because now I have to think about
Because
it.
you're the expert. Absolutely. I feel your pain on YouTube thumbnails, man. I totally get it. I've been down that road. I'm like, this is not for me. This is why it's a job, right? Have you ever read the book Who Not How?
Yes, I have. I
Is
got
it
it right
behind
here.
you? Yes. If you have not read that book out there, I highly suggest if this will help with your control freak side and your delegation side, and it will teach you that it is important to have help. It also teaches you, I feel like there's a lot of flexibility in having a team and an assistant because it shows you like your way is not the right way, but there's other ways to get from point A to point B, and your way can be just as correct, and we're still going to get there. So it kind of forces you to be a little bit more flexible as the leader, and not everything is so like my way.
But getting to the point of thinking who can help me or who can I work with, it takes a lot because now you're because at first I was just so used to doing how can I do this? I'm gonna watch the YouTube training, I'm gonna watch the YouTube video, I'm gonna watch it, I'm gonna practice it, I'm gonna study it, I'm gonna learn it. And it was I was focused on the how to do it. And then when I start to really recognize the importance of who, they've already did the work. They already did the training. They already have the practice. They already have the master of the skill. I was like, oh.
It really is a light bulb, that book. And you also have to think when you're trying to take on a new skill because you're trying to save money, the currency for that skill is time. Or you can have your time and the currency that you have to give up is money. And once you realize that, which is more important, my time or my money? It's both an umbrella question to ask yourself, but it's an individual itemized question you have to ask yourself as well. Like in this situation, like how long is it going to take me to learn to do YouTube thumbnails? Do I really want to do this, or am I just being cheap and I just don't want to pay for it? Right. But then once you pay for it, usually you're kind of happy because you're like, it's off my plate. It's going to be better quality than I would have, and I have my time back. So if I can afford it, why shouldn't I just pay for it?
Yeah, that takes some time.
It does take a lot of time. Way easier said than done. Come on now.
You recently just mentioned something about YouTube and YouTube thumbnail. Well, we both did. How do you use social media to grow your business and to grow your awareness?
I have recently switched up my strategy, and I'm trying to put out more value driven content out there regarding real estate. And I just take the questions that clients ask me and I turn them into content. And with one or two questions, if you can have a reel, you can have a scroll, you can have a post, right? Like, so now I have three posts and that could be like used in the future. And you just keep refurbishing it to make it life easier. I do get business from, I used to get a lot of business from Facebook, and then as Instagram took over, I kind of switched. I think that at least in Miami, it's kind of more of a business card of your legitimacy when you have Instagram. I know certain people like really make a ton of money and a lot of deals off of YouTube and Instagram. I'm I'm not quite there yet, to be honest. I'm working on it and I'm trying to see what works to get people interested in working with me. So yeah, that's, if I'm given the real raw truth, I actually don't get a lot of business from my social media.
People think it's easy. No, no, no.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. People think it's easy. I mean, I get random weird WhatsApp messages. Mm-hmm. That's not leading to business. That's inappropriate.
Spam, spam, spam.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, delete and block.
And one thing that I recently learned about social media, yes, it's a good business card. Yes, it's a good thing to keep up to date, because when people see you're doing the work and you're having meetings with clients, this will give you more credibility. Mm-hmm. But to build your business card takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of money and energy and thought. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole separate business in and of itself. And at this moment in time, I am extremely obsessed with it. I have like series I want to put out. Like I have so much stuff. And I'm like, girl, you cannot just focus on content. Like you have to actually work too. Like I have to make the calls. I have to go see my clients. Like you can't just get this obsessed. It doesn't work. And maybe in a year it would work. Who knows? But you still have to be very conscious of the time you are allocating to every little task that you do in order to make your business run. And if it's not going to make the boat go faster, then we don't put all of our eggs in that basket.
I agree. I'm learning that. Yeah.
Yes. Do you get into leads off of podcasting?
So recently, for some reason, when I started doing this 90-day challenge, I've been having some customers reach out to me via like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and I was always confused on the fact that how was I able to get customers from here? And I start to realize when I start saying I help blank with blank, that's how I start getting like DMs, schedule like different meetings or whatnot. But then I was confused. I was like, if it's working, what if I just keep doing it and multiply and increase it? So now I'm going to have a system around the way I can bring value to different platforms. So to answer your question, yes, but I haven't really optimized from it because I didn't have the structure around it. Now I'm building the structure so I can actually help entrepreneurs edit their podcast now.
Dude, good for you. That's awesome.
I mean,
social media is so cool in that sense. It can bring so much awareness to you and your brand, and you can meet such cool people on there that you would never run into in real life due to geographical situations. So there really is so many cool positive things about social media, and you can use it to your benefit. And, you know, I've definitely met people and sent them referrals. So I guess in a weird way, I have made money from social media. It's just not like a direct message to my inbox, like, hey, I want to work with you, right? But it's definitely in a roundabout way. So keep it up. Don't stop.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, you haven't made money yet from it.
Correct. We're working on it. 2025.
Yes, man. 2025. So before we end, I do have one our last segment called Best for Last. It's when I ask four questions and you answer it rapidly.
Let's see.
Right. So first question, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? My home, my home, my boyfriend and my cats. We have the best life.
Wow. That sounds like the best life. What do you regret?
Not moving to Australia when I had the opportunity. Life would be very different now.
Okay. And I think this question goes the same thing, but is there anything that you would change about your success?
I would have started younger. I really started taking real estate serious at 31. Should have done it at 21.
That's understood. And last question, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
It means that you've got to keep learning. You have to stop, reflect, understand the lesson that was taught, and you have to apply it moving forward. Otherwise, you're just going to keep ending up in the same spot. That's a good question.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. So how can people work with you? How can they say, hey, I want you to be my realtor because you care, you show, and you keep your word? How can people connect with you and start working with you?
Absolutely. So we've got YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, and my handle is Lauren M House, and my email is lauren@laurenmhouse.com.
There you have it. Before we end, Lauren, do you have any closing, what is it called? Closing,
Words,
yes.
sentences. You're funny. I mean, closing words would just be, if you want to be better, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes a wherewithal that you do have the power to change who you are, whether it's habits or how you operate, confidence. But you can't just do it. You don't wake up one day. It's a daily habit. You also have to surround yourself with the correct people who want to bring that out of you. And you can ask for it. If you're not a woo-woo person, that's fine. But I promise, if you ask for it because you truly, truly want this change for yourself, those people are going to show up. Those teachers will show up. And that's what's important, is like you get on the vibe that you want, get out of your box and just go do what you want to do, because you can't people please your way through life, and you're going to be extremely resentful and unhappy if you do so.
Wow.
Can
Wow. Wow. We just gonna
you
leave
tell
it
the phase I'm
Yes, I can. Lauren, I appreciate it. I'm about to stop recording right now.
Oh.